The art of the put-down is practiced in many ways, stealthily, with barbs so sharp the victim doesn't know they've been cut to the quick, broadly leaving the victim fuming with outrage. And in the Washington, D.C. neighborhood commentator Katie Davis lives in, the put-down comes in a particular form called jonin.
It happens when things are slow. The teenager sprawled along the park steps, halfway watching a game at the court. Wiley turns to Clayton. "Why are you wearing those burnt biscuits on your feet?" Clayton fires back. "At least my outfit doesn't look like it got smacked by a packet of Skittles." And all of a sudden, the kids are joning, trading insults, insults with complex intentions.
Joning, it's, making fun of people, really. You sort of hurting someone's feelings, but it's not all the time. It's not meant to hurt people's feelings. People do it nowadays. It's just to have fun.
Like when his hair gets long, Sean says his friends start in on him.
Brian was joning on my bush. He said, "I got an Angela Davis bush." And he said, "You look like Tiger Woods, be using my bush as the little tee to the smock hole in ones."
It's a sport, really. Verbal sparring. And when I hear people tisk-tisk about the sorry state of language these days, I wish they could eavesdrop on some kids joning and hear the inventive metaphors in poetry. It usually happens among friends, usually among boys, and it can be affectionate and horribly cruel. This is my friend Tiny.
Joning is kind of like, it's a verbal hug to some degree. You know what I mean? As opposed to going across, giving somebody a hug. Whoever could joan the best was how you built camaraderie. It's also let you know, what are you doing with those plaid and stripes? What are you wearing, plaid and stripes? You know what you look like? And then...
In that way, it's helpful.
Exactly, it's helpful. We need joning.
In other places, they call it playing the dozens or cutting. In my neighborhood, I've always heard joning. Tiny says he got good at it because he was a fat kid. It was self-defense. Learn to laugh at yourself and then zing a better one back. Joning is for the brave, though, because almost nothing is out of bounds.
Everybody fair game. Everybody. The dog, the cat, the grandmother, everybody. And some corpses, too.
That's Reggie. He grew up around here, too. A while back at the basketball court, I confessed to Reggie and his friend that I was really upset because my dogs had chased down a raccoon in the woods and killed it. I hadn't told anyone the story. It was too horrible. Well, they looked at me, shot a few three-pointers, and then it started. "That's a shame what your dogs did to Rocky Raccoon, Katie. Guess she'll be wearing a Danny Boone hat from now on."
David Crockett, Joe.
Okay, even. See y'all at lunch.
Maybe they can jack a possum tomorrow. You can have possum shacks for dinner.
Call Granny and Jim.
I fought it for a while, but finally I cracked a smile. It didn't seem as unspeakable anymore. And that's joning. Say something so funny that the person being insulted has to laugh. Reggie says he actually goes easy on me. I'm in his sensitive category. When joning, you have to gauge who you're talking to, whether they are thick or thin-skinned. Jone on some people and you'll end up fighting. Of course, the other option is to just shut up, which is the way my friend Ruben has always handled it.
We'd have in my neighborhood what we call a joning session, and it was when I certainly was the most frightened to be outside. And the fear for me was that someone would say something very, very funny, and of course you would laugh, and the person being insulted would turn around and say, "Oh, so you're laughing at me," and they would attack you. And the key would be, I remember guys saying stuff like, "Man, that guy threw some crispy Jones." You know, it's like, he just burned you, he Jones you out. And I mean, you could walk down the hallway in school and people who were witness to these sessions would just, you had like the scarlet letter or the scarlet J.
There are no rules, really, although Tiny says most people try to keep mothers out of it.
Now, I have some buddies that do nothing but mother jokes, but they're that close. You have to be exceptionally close to do mother jokes, because mother jokes are just grown men now, to the guys in business suits will get out of their BMWs and Mercedes and try to fight you to the death over mother jokes, because some guys can't go there, because it's a lot of internal strength that comes with joning, too, to be able to, it's just like standing toe to toe and taking somebody's best punch.
It is delicate to negotiate this wordplay, a wordplay that dances so close to the wounds we all have.
It's kind of like it's a community thing. And it's kind of like, you ever heard the crabs in a barrel theory? It's like making sure you don't get too far above yourself and you stay a member of the community.
Tiny says he still remembers how a classmate brought him down to earth 30 years ago.
My father, he still has motorcycles. And he's a Harley Davidson now, but he's in the bikes. But, you know, I thought it was so cool. He used to take me to school on his motorcycle on occasion. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, yeah, the kids can't say anything, mm-hmm. except they found something to say. So I get off my father's motorcycle, and I'm walking all high and mighty. And I said, yeah, see, your father brought you on his motorcycle. That's nice. If you didn't have on those high waters and those Fonzie boots. And I look back at him, I'm thinking, he does have high waters and those Fonzie boots.
It's worth remembering. When you get that new job or you're driving your brand new car home, keep in mind that the people who know you well, they know that your father probably wears high waters and might even have some Fonzie boots.
Katie Davis is a writer in Washington, D.C. ¶¶